Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome to a special episode of Whiskey Congress. Steve is not in studio today. In fact, Steve isn't even on the show today. We have a guest in house. Our guest is my friend Joey Gentile. Joey has been using our studio to record a series of podcasts about the Academy Awards or actresses in the Academy Awards called Academy Queens. Joey's a friend of mine from the Cleveland comedy scene. And Joey is a huge, huge film and Oscars fan and an openly gay man in Cleveland. And so with all the stuff going on with the Oscars this year, especially related to Kevin Hart, I wanted to talk to Joey about this. So first of all, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
We're having more of that Big House straight bourbon whiskey that we reviewed on the previous episode, if you want to tell me what you think of it.
Cheers to that one, for sure. That's actually a lot smoother than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Steve said basically it's like Jim Beam, but smooth. And I would...
Yeah, because the bottle itself looks like Knob Creek.
It does.
And so I was expecting, honestly, I was expecting kind of like a Knob Creek ripoff. In the fact of like, usually like the ripoffs can be a little harsher because they're quote right. unquote more bottom shelf. But this was a lot smoother than I expected. And it's got a, you know, nice bit of peatiness to that. I like that.
I would agree.
I like that a lot.
Well, we got half a bottle left, so we'll see how much is still standing at the end of the show.
Of course.
So first of all, welcome to Whiskey Congress.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you as a guest.
Yes.
And good luck on your project. I'm looking forward to seeing how both your projects go, but specifically Academy Queen. So
yeah, I'm really, really excited. We're premiering season one here in March. And then I know we have you booked for a little longer in the future for season three, because I believe we're going to have you on for the Silence of the Lambs episode.
We are.
So,
which I watched some of today, actually. Yeah. While I was moving around the kitchen.
Nice.
All right. So the Oscars were a bit different this year, and it started off with the Kevin Hart controversy. Mm-hmm. As a fan of the Academy Awards, I mean, this is a big deal for you.
Yeah.
And you're a comedian, and Kevin Hart is a comedian who basically got told, don't come. Well, I think he officially backed away when people came out and they were upset. And just to cover the background of it, about 5 years ago, I think it was, mm-hmm. he made a series of jokes about, you know, if his male child was playing with a dollhouse, he'd bash him over the head with a dollhouse because he doesn't want his kid to be gay. Mm-hmm. He had subsequently apologized for that and said he'd grown from it. Without even leading you, what are your thoughts on the whole Kevin Hart scenario?
I have to answer this in two ways, because I am more than just a gay guy.
I also
stand-up comedy.
Right.
So I'm answering this in the form of a comedian, but I'm also answering this in the form of being a part of the LGBT community. So starting with the comedian side is, I don't think filtering comedy is very wrong. I do believe that you can truly make a joke about almost anything if your punchline meets the well-rounded topic of what you're making the joke about.
Sure.
You know, I always use it as an example is the Daniel Tosh rape incident, where he looked at someone in the audience, pretty much said, like, I hope you get raped.
Yeah, I mean, she stormed out and said, rape jokes aren't funny. And he said, wouldn't it be funny if she got raped right now? So that was it.
But right. No. But that, I mean, the clarification is key.
Right, because he got destroyed.
Destroyed for that shit. And I do think there is a way that you can make rape funny if you do a rape joke the right way. Now, people are like, is there a way to do a rape joke the right way? Yes, there is.
I've heard it done.
I do them.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's, you know, my opinion on the actual, you know, going into, well, can you make gay jokes? Yeah, you can make gay jokes. I do make gay jokes all the time. I also make straight people jokes. I make white people jokes, and I'm a white person. I make black people jokes and Asian jokes.
I'm still a white person.
I'm an equal opportunity offender is what right. you know they say. Now going into this as a gay person talking about this, I am not one to get offended easily.
Right.
I can see the difference between. Because correct me if I'm wrong in this, but wasn't he also at a certain point also just saying in general that he doesn't want gay kids or
I think, I mean, even if he didn't say those exact words, his whole gist was he didn't want to have a gay son.
Yeah, and that I think that's where it draws the line from it being a funny and a joke to it being just pure hatred almost. Like, that's homophobia.
Classic definition.
Classic definition. Okay. Right. So, if you're not on stage with a microphone in front of hundreds of thousands of people or a couple hundred people, you know, some people can argue, well, if you're doing a joke, aren't you reading or aren't you getting a bigger audience out there to hear your punchline? Yes. But, again, there's a difference between me just saying, like, well, fuck gay people, and then me just going up on a stage and being like, oh, well, these silly faggots. There's a difference.
Right.
And I think we're in such a PC culture to where people don't know where to draw the line.
I agree. So let me try to steer the conversation, because we've had conversations just hanging out where a joke is either funny or it's not, right? A good joke is a good joke. If it's offensive, I mean, I do a few jokes that are borderline offensive, sometimes offensive.
Yeah.
And when I get a groan, I feel like I've won.
Yeah.
I mean, and it should be a good natured groan, right? Yeah. So, I mean, if it's literally like you're saying repulsive things, then that's just more of like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But a joke is a joke. It's either funny or it's not.
Right.
And I agree with you. If you were to say, Kevin Hart, you can't tell that joke, that would be a huge problem. Now, the issue here comes in, do you want him representing you at the Academy Awards? Mm-hmm. And enough people came out that he backed away.
Yeah.
So, you know, so if you want to pick it up there, or I can follow it up.
I feel like what he did, though, is that here we go. He was like a Chilean miner. He was just digging himself deeper and deeper and deeper. Because originally it was, well, fuck you, I'm not going to apologize. I've already subsequently apologized. And instead of just playing to the masses in, like, what's the term?
Groupthink?
No, like, humor. Like, instead of humoring people and just being like, okay, like, you're right, I'm sorry, just let them hear what they want to hear. He just kind of kept denying it and saying, fuck you. And I think that hurt him a lot more.
I think what he really tried to say is, I apologized for this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it again. And then he ultimately kind of did, which made it...
But that's what I mean when I say humor the masses.
Yeah. So he should have just gone
along? I think so. Just let it go. Like, move on. There are literally people dying.
Yeah.
Like... But we have more important shit to be arguing about.
And so if he had, you know, played the public, you know, the right way and had hosted the Oscars, would it have bothered you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, does it bother you that no one hosted the Oscars?
No, I loved it without a host, actually. So the Academy Awards had an infamous year, the 88-89 year where there was no host, and it went down as one of the worst shows ever. And it was,
you know, why was there no host in 88?
They're just, I don't know the reasoning why. The producer, I think it was the producer who they hired. So the producer who they hired, and his name is slipping me right now, I want to say Paul Cray, but I totally might be wrong in that. He had produced Grease, the movie, and was infamous for his parties. He was a big flamboyant gay guy. And so the producers were like, well, we're gonna breathe some fresh air, some new blood into this. And they hired him, and he ended up doing this Copacabana number to open up with. It had nothing to do with film. It had dancing tables and palm trees and stars of the, you know, classic age. And it ended up having a Snow White character who was coming to Hollywood and danced with, like, Ricky Lake and Rob Lowe.
Okay.
Maya Bialik. Yeah, so it sounds ridiculous. So imagine Alan Carr. Alan Carr was the name. And this essentially ruined his career. Like, he was not hireable after this because it was just, it was a joke. And it was, if you look at it on YouTube, it is 15 minutes long and it's this big production that is just so cringeworthy. It's like, ugh. So anyway, so that was the last time that they had a no host. They hadn't done it like that since.
Okay.
I think it worked. You know, the Academy came under a lot of scrutiny this year with, you know, not wanting to originally present all 24 categories. And the Kevin Hart thing, and then the Bohemian Rhapsody shit, and then all of a sudden, they're like, no host. So everyone expected this to bomb. I thought it worked amazing.
Okay. I mean, I did, so full disclosure, I did not see any of it.
Yeah.
All I know about the Academy Awards this year is, you know, the things I saw on social media, and partially because I was doing other things at night, and then also, I've only seen a few of the movies, and that's not... That's kind of out of character for me. I usually have seen at least a couple of them,
yeah.
And I'll have an opinion about, you know, what should or shouldn't win. Mm-hmm. This year I didn't, so I'm like, now I can watch people judge movies that I know nothing about.
Right.
I do have an opinion on the worst Oscar winner for Best Picture ever. We can come to that at the end if you want. Think about yours. I've got mine. So it worked. I mean, I don't remember what if anything you put on social media, but you obviously enjoyed it. How'd they do it? Like, just
so, I mean, it literally just started off. Here's why I liked it too. So if you think of like the Tony Awards, or you think of the Grammys.
Okay.
When the Grammys are going on, they have these huge performances by the artists. So it's a way to represent the music. When the Tonys are happening, they take numbers from the shows and represent the shows that are being nominated. Without having a host, they were able to focus more on the movies, show longer clips, really get into it. It really put the emphasis more from the host and the political aspect that can come in from hosting. And really focus on the movie. So I appreciate that as a moviegoer. I also vote for some of these awards. I don't vote for the Academy Awards.
Right.
So as a voter who gets every year the right to vote on who I think should win, it was great to put the focus on the film itself. So what they did is that they opened it with Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Maya Rudolph, and they gave away the first Oscar, which was supporting actress. And they pretty much just said, "Well, if we were to host this year, they would do this." And they did like literally like a 2-minute bit. That was it. And then they got right into the awards. And then the last award is given away each year is Best Picture, and Julia Roberts did it. So at the end of the speech, she was like, "Thank you guys so much. Have a great night." Yada yada. It was wham bam thank you man to the point. I thought it was great. I think they need to start doing no host every year, to be honest.
Okay. I mean, it used to be such a big deal who hosts the Oscars, and I think it's lost a lot of its steam.
Yeah.
And also, it's become a to me, it seems like it's become a no-win job for whoever does it. I'm thinking back to Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. I thought Chris Rock was great when he did it.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge Chris Rock fan. And a lot of people got mad at him because he made jokes about actors, and there's the famous Sean Penn thing, which I fucking love. Just Google Joe Rogan, Sean Penn, and enjoy. But I think his criticism of Sean Penn taking a joke way too fucking seriously is hilarious and accurate or correct.
That's Sean Penn for you, though.
It is. And Sean Penn, as Joe Rogan says, he's a crazy person, for one. Probably stoned out of his fucking gourd at that point.
To go from Surferman Spicoli to where he is dude, come on.
Mickey Cohen.
Right.
And, I mean, I think Sean Penn's a great actor. And to me, Mystic River is kind of one of those movies where when people put politics into movies.
Yeah.
All right. Tim Robbins is as liberal as fuck. Yeah. Sean Penn is whatever Sean Penn is. And they were directed by Clint fucking Eastwood.
Right.
So if they can put it aside, people, quit with the, "I'm not watching this movie because an actor who says the president's a doo-doo head," you know, just fucking deal with it. Enjoy your performance or don't.
Right.
Just like a joke. An acting performance is either a good one or it's not.
Right.
And it should be judged on that, not by what someone says at an award show or on social media or whatever.
Well, to bounce really quick, even back to the Kevin Hart thing, is you had asked me, do you think I would have minded or enjoyed if he had hosted or if I minded?
Yeah.
No, I would have minded. I would have enjoyed it, though, because I don't find Kevin Hart funny. Like, I've seen his stand-up. I don't like it.
All right. I'm going to completely agree with you on
that. Yeah. So I rolled my eyes when Kevin Hart was you know, put on as host.
Here's the thing. I like Kevin Hart as a comedic actor.
Yes.
Like, in I love him in that little bit part in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
And people are always like, he wasn't in that movie. Doing the whole, you're mistaking the wrong black. No, he is in that movie. Yeah. He's got like a 5-minute part and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And racist as fuck, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing I love about the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin is it shows, and I've talked about this on my old show, Stephen Jeffrey's World.
I like totally, what's
that? Really, yeah, good. Which I don't know why, because that show doesn't exist anymore. We're not Whiskey Congress. But that movie had stuff that was blatantly racist, blatantly homophobic, right? I mean, there's a scene where Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd are sitting next to each other going, "You know how I know you're gay?"
Yeah.
You have a Coldplay
bumper sticker.
You like Coldplay. "You don't know you're gay? You knitted a pair of macrame shorts." You know, and I think that stuff is funny.
Yeah.
And is it offensive you got two straight guys doing that? Because it's kind of funny to me.
I don't think so.
And in the Kevin Hart and that guy get into an exchange that includes an Indian guy walking by their argument saying, "Tonight's forecast, partly cloudy, with a chance of drive-bys." I mean, that's racist as fuck. But it's funny, and it's done in a lighthearted way.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone who's offended by that.
Well, I mean, I know we had talked about it briefly, just because we were talking about it was its 45th anniversary, but Blazing Saddles.
Right.
Could not be released today because absolutely shit is too PC. But again, I don't get offended because if I'm doing my bits or my tight tens or whatever right. I'm doing, I take a lot of my inspiration through like Lenny Bruce, Don Rickles, Joan Rivers, who just didn't give a fuck.
Right.
So I don't give a fuck.
Don Rickles was mad when he didn't offend people.
Right. Like if I'm not offending you, my job isn't done is how I go into it. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. I mean, we're different styles of comics. Now, yeah. Again, I have a few jokes. Like I have a joke about how Saudi Arabia is this awful place and how they treat women like shit and they didn't let women drive till last year, so the one thing they used to get right, now they fucked that up. I've gotten booed for that, and yeah. I fucking loved getting booed for that.
Yeah.
So, that's a sexist joke, period. I'm making an offensive sexist joke that I think is fucking hilarious. Deal with it. But anyway, so taken in the right context, these things can be great.
Yeah.
And taken way too seriously, they can be bad. Now, back to Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
You know what offends the shit out of me? Is when they play Blazing Saddles on regular TV and they edit out
everything.
It just don't play the fucking movie.
Right.
My favorite story about, I was in India on business years ago, mm-hmm. and India's culture is very conservative. At least their media is very, very conservative. Mm-hmm. They had the Big Lebowski on TV. And they didn't like put words over. Well, at one point they did, and I'll tell you about that. But they just cut out every F-bomb. And so the movie just, like, it was like the movie was stuttering Jeff Bridges and stuttering John Goodman because they just took the word out. Just don't play the fucking movie. If you're going to take the N-bombs out of Blazing Saddles, don't play the fucking movie. It's right. just stupid. So anyway, in the scene where John Goodman is bashing the shit out of the Corvette, and in the movie he says, "You see what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass?" In India it was, "See what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps."
First just of all, if that's what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps, I don't want to find a fucking right. stranger in the Alps. Yeah. Let's just talk about
they
that.
Beat the shit out of your Corvette right. and you find a stranger in the Alps.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, the thing is just like PC culture has ruined a lot. I'm 27 years old, and there are times where my own generation, as much as I appreciate how far we've come, I'm just like, come on.
And there's... Yeah, it's a pendulum swing, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think now we're way to the point where now anyone who gives anyone an excuse to be offended and to show outrage, they do it.
Oh, I just don't give a shit. If you're not paying my bills, I don't give a fuck.
I
don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean I'm insensitive to people's feelings. Like, right. if you, like, I'm a fucking Pisces. I bring into everybody, like, on what, you know, their whole fucking auras and shit. Like, I'm into that. Okay. But, like... You're okay. No, but like...
Sorry.
But no, like, I'm not insensitive to people, but don't tell me... I hate when white people tell me that I'm being racist for other races. Don't be offended for other fucking races. Don't speak for them.
Right.
Like, don't speak for me. Like, I hate when someone says, well, that's homophobic. That's not homophobic. If I don't find it to be homophobic, that's okay. Another gay person might be, but don't tell me that's homophobic if I don't find that homophobic. Right.
That's how
Does that
I felt,
make sense?
Yeah, well, I felt that way about a lot of the Me Too stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to use Al Franken as an example. In full disclosure, two of his books are on the bookshelf right next to me. I'm a fan of Al Franken. He got run out of the Senate because he touched a woman inappropriately or made jokes about touching a woman inappropriately. Mm-hmm. And he kind of fell on his sword, I think, for the Democratic team. And the person that he allegedly perpetrated this act to said she did not want that.
Yeah.
So if the person it happened to said, "I'm not hurt, I'm not offended," then who the fuck are other people to be offended on her behalf?
I agree with you, but I think this is that prime example, if we're getting political here for a moment, is...
We can do that.
You have to set an example. And him falling on the sword, like you just said, I think is that prime example of when Michelle Obama was, when they go low, we go high. I think that had to have been done. Unfortunately, it happened to him. But it had to have been like, listen, you now have the fucking Republican Party put someone in office who has X amount of sexual assault cases on him.
Allegations, yeah.
Allegations, who is caught on camera talking about grabbing women by the pussy. So if... Look where he's at right now. Yeah. I mean, we hold McDonald's workers at a higher standard than the president of the United States. So I think, unfortunately, Al Franken was the one to be like, fuck, this is happening, but it had to have been done.
And it was strategic politically because he was in a state with a Democratic governor, so he was going to be replaced by a Democrat. I guarantee you, if this happened to, I'm drawing a blank on the guy who beat Roy Moore, the guy from Alabama.
Whatever. Yeah.
But if it was a I can't come up with the guy's name. But
I can't think of it either. Don't feel bad.
It's the guy who beat Roy Moore, which is really all he is. So, you know, if it was a Republican-controlled state and the Democrats were going to lose a seat in the Senate,
Doug Jones.
I don't think the moral outrage would have been as strong because it would have been actually something to lose. So Al Franken took one for the team.
Yeah.
But having said that, to your point, if it offends some people, tough shit. Especially, speaking purely about comedy now. Yeah. If you go to a comedy show and you get offended, that's on you. Yeah. You have every right, don't laugh. But you're at a comedy show. Now, yeah. When you're talking about Kevin Hart hosting the Academy Awards, mm-hmm. Now you're talking about a mainstream media event. And even though I don't think he should suffer any consequences for making jokes about, you know, bashing his gay son or preventing his son from becoming gay by bashing a thing. And first of all, I agree with you. That's a hack joke, in my opinion. And yeah. A lot of his humor is that kind of stuff. So I don't like him as a comedian. I do like him as a comic actor.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a distinction. He should not have, you know, his career as a comic torn down because of that. If you find that joke offensive and don't want to pay to see Kevin Hart, don't. Now, when it comes to should he host the Academy Awards, honestly, first of all, truthfully speaking, I really don't care. I mean, I'm a big film fan. I have only seen one of the movies that was nominated this year. That was Black Panther.
Yeah.
And the
most accessible one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it was, I do like comic book movies. I'm not super passionate about them. I'm not nearly as passionate as my normal co-host. He's a huge comic book guy.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, to me, it was not a big deal, but it did annoy me that his apology from years ago was simply not good enough, and you must re-apologize, and is a re-apology good enough? Because that came into question. Like, you know, like you said he wasn't going to do it, then he kind of did, and by that point the ship had sailed, and there was just no way to bring it back. The fact that it ended up with a good finished product maybe saves us from this shit in the future.
Yeah, and you know, when this happened, I did make a post about it. And it was actually commented on by a Cleveland comedian by the name of Cody Cooper. And it was, I think I put like something along the lines of how the mighty have fallen or some shit like that. And I think he had mentioned, well, he already apologized before. And I didn't really argue about it on Facebook because I just didn't really care that much. What I know for me, like what I meant by that is just like, again, just humor the people, move on with it. That's all it is. That's all.
Do you think that if he had hosted, do you think there would have been protests from the LGBTQ community?
No, I mean, see, again, I can't speak for the whole. I can only speak for myself.
Right.
I think anyone's going to protest for any fucking reason they want to protest, and that's their God-given right as American-born citizens. But again, literally, take that passion and anger and put it into the transgender ban on American soldiers that fucking this administration is trying to put through. Put it on gay conversion therapy that many states still have legalized. Like, take that energy and put it towards something useful, not a four-hour TV show of a bunch of millionaires giving themselves trophies.
Okay, I agree with that.
Fucking do something with it. Take that anger and go out there.
So that is the one thing. So staying more political, Hollywood has become the right wing's symbol for anti-American, what's wrong with America, blah, blah, blah. You know, the liberal elites in Hollywood I would bet you, if I turned on Rush Limbaugh, Alex Jones, or any one of these other conservative,
pundits.
Pundits, whatever.
Tommy Lahren.
Tommy Lahren, my girl. I guarantee you, in a day, you will hear the term Hollywood elites or liberal elites. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but that gives me two types of fever. Number one, you fucking, the Republican Party has now put two celebrities into office. Ronald Reagan and Donald motherfucking Trump.
Right.
Like, not the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. Right. You've now put two celebrities, one an actor and one a reality star. So don't even talk about a Hollywood elite when you have a fucking elitist in office. Number one. Number two, if you look at Hollywood, there was the McCarthy era. There was the 1950s blacklist. There were people who died and committed suicide because they couldn't find work and they went poor, or they had to go work in Egypt. Or not Egypt, but Europe. Totally thrown off there. And that whole time, Hollywood was very Republican. But this was also at a time when the Democratic Party and the Republican Party had different platforms before they switched in the early 60s. So the Republicans then were the Democrats of today.
Right.
And
the civil rights movement really flipped that, right?
I mean, it really flipped that.
That it's funny to me, whenever Republicans today call themselves the party of Lincoln, I'm like, fuck off.
Lincoln is a modern day Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the ultimate in terms of
yeah.
in terms of social justice. And Lincoln had his flaws. I know people will listen to this.
Every president does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, so with regards to the Oscars, I appreciate you talking about this.
Yeah.
There were other things related to the Oscars that you brought to my attention that I didn't know about. Bryan Singer being one of them. You want to share your thoughts on Bryan Singer? So, great director. Got yeah. a couple. Talk about when you need to separate the artist from the art. This is one of the ones where you really got to do it because he has a how old? He's accused of having relations with yeah. a much inappropriately young boy.
Numerous boys. Okay. So. This is definitely the downside of any industry, I think. You know, with what's going on with the Me Too movement and Harvey Weinstein, you know, clearly for years there was also Roman Polanski.
Right.
There's the Woody Allen thing.
Right.
And now there's Bryan Singer. And Bryan Singer had one of the biggest films come out last year called Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
And Bohemian Rhapsody itself got a lot of shit for being quote-unquote anti-gay. And I'm just like... As a gay guy watching Bohemian Rhapsody, I think it's a very gay movie. I honestly think it's more of a gay movie than Brokeback Mountain. And people are like, well, it's not gay enough. I'm like, what did you expect? A scene with fucking Freddie Mercury with bukkake on his face? Like, what do you want? You know, you're given a foot and you want a yard. Like, it's a gay movie. It's directed by a guy who's a gay man who's unfortunately, though, also a very, in my opinion, sick gay man. Because there are numerous allegations on him of... pedophilia.
Right.
And Bryan Singer. Okay, so I moved to LA when I was 19. And even then when I was thinner, I was nowhere near Bryan Singer's type. But the very first day when I got into West Hollywood, by a roommate was, do not go to Bryan Singer's house for parties.
Okay.
And Bryan.
Okay, okay, all right.
Let's just, how do I say this? Okay, so allegedly going into this party, there were underage boys in throughout the house and piles of drugs and stuff. And that was the big quote unquote right. Bryan Singer secret. So for him, for Hollywood to know
this is how long ago? You said you were 19 at the time. So
2011.
Okay.
So
not that long ago.
Not really. That long ago. And by that time, even then, it was known for years. And it was one of Hollywood's dirty secrets, just like Harvey Weinstein was known for years.
Right.
And for this to come to light and for him to keep on working was always something that I scratched my head with. But yeah, you had Bryan Singer, director of Bohemian Rhapsody. And if you watch the Academy, not one person, his name's never brought up once. Because there was also a point where he got fired from the project. And for the last 2 or 3 weeks of shooting, they brought in a new director who I still don't know who the fuck
Is he the director of record though? He is, right?
He's on record as the director.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, do you separate the artist from the art, or do you really just look at it as a big clusterfuck?
So here's my thought. I mean, so Bryan Singer to me is the guy who directed X-Men. Usual Suspects is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Kaiser. So say, but that look at that, you have Kevin Spacey.
And you've got Kevin Spacey.
Right.
All right, and Kevin Spacey is a perfect example of mm-hmm. retroactive. So their movie, so the show House of Cards mm-hmm. was great. Loved it.
Amazing.
And I love Kevin Spacey as an actor.
Right? Yes.
Usual Suspects through, I can't think of a role from Kevin Spacey I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of which ones I like more. When he had his allegations that years ago he inappropriately like grappled with a 14-year-old kid, that's not cool. I'm not defending that for a second. But does that mean I have to now say that The Usual Suspects sucked? Because it's right. a great fucking movie.
Right.
Now, if someone does something that should land them in jail, fuck them. I'm not going to defend Bryan Singer or Kevin Spacey on right. that level.
Right.
But don't... When they reshot that movie, I think about Lyndon Johnson or something.
Oh, All the Money in the World.
Yes.
With Christopher Plummer.
And they cut his character yeah. and then like reshot it and just fucking stop. We know what Kevin Spacey is.
Well, that, at that point, too, I think you have to look at it as a business standpoint. Because right before that movie came out is when all the allegations came out.
Right.
So do we keep a guy who has this going on and by the court of public opinion is guilty?
Right.
Which I still do believe in due process for anybody. No matter what happened, due process, there's a reason why it's our system, even if it doesn't work all the time. There would have been no money to be made for that project, so that's why they had to do that.
Right. Well, okay. Are you suggesting that Hollywood is driven by money? I'm shocked.
What?
Shocked and appalled.
What?
But yeah, it anyway, I mean, I can go on and on about Kevin Spacey, yeah, who's a fucking awesome actor. And so it's funny to me that Bryan Singer gets basically shoved under the rug, which makes sense. Yeah. I guess, because you don't want to put a highlight on. And this, and one thing that I cannot say enough, and this as a straight man in my 40s, whenever people equate homosexuality and pedophilia, I want to bang their head against a brick.
Well, that was what Kevin Spacey uses as his defense. Is, that, by the way, it's because I'm a gay man. Like, no, motherfucker. No. Or it's like with the fucking church. I left the Catholic. I was raised Roman Catholic. I left the Catholic Church at 13. To this day, I call the Catholic Church a bunch of kid fuckers. That's just me.
I was a practicing Catholic until about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I still consider myself Catholic. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I was raised Catholic. It did help me as a young kid growing up.
Yeah.
It did fuck a lot of people up though.
Yeah.
I've had to deal with my own personal, like, at what, like, how many times when I dropped money into a basket was I paying for a settlement for a...
Yeah.
And that, Joey, honestly, I...
And that goes into the Oscars for, like, Spotlight from a couple years ago.
Which is a great fucking...
Great movie. You
know, not only is it a great movie.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately, to my knowledge, accurate.
Too accurate. It's uncomfortably accurate.
I lived in... just. Get a bit personal here. I was living in Boston when that all came down.
Really?
It was.
Okay.
And so I remember as a then church-going Catholic, people were protesting outside Cardinal Law's church every fucking Sunday, and I was furious at the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm looking at myself now through, you know, years of
retrospect
yeah, going, you know, they kind of had a fucking point. And the most, as well-acted and as brilliant as the movie Spotlight is, the most powerful thing in that movie is the very end, without a spoken word, when they said there have been recorded cases in, and they just start showing
the cities.
Cities.
Yeah.
And countries. And it's like, you know, when that first came out as a then practicing Catholic, you wanted to believe it was one or two guys in one or two places. Yeah. And I even wanted to give Cardinal Law the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what? To some degree, I kind of still do with it. I don't think he believed he was doing evil.
Yeah.
He was. Looking at it, he was. But I think in his naive or... You know what? I'm not even going to stick with this path of conversation because I'm doubting myself as I'm saying it. They clearly put preserving the church's image and preserving the church's resources ahead of not letting kids get raped. And that is fucking undefensible. And for me, as a lifelong Catholic who's gone through my recent... shake up. It's just hard for me to deny that reality. And fortunately, not a whole lot of my family listens to this show because there are people in my family who will lose their fucking minds if they ever hear this. My godparents, if they ever heard this, would not take well to it. Fortunately, if I told them it's on a podcast, they would have no idea what that was. So I got that going for me. But it is. We've taken a turn here, but it's just hard for me to look in the mirror and go, you put money into a basket that paid for either buyouts for sexual abuse victims or the legal defense for them, neither of which are okay.
But you saying that shows as a person, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, like how much you've grown from realizing where you were till now.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for you to say that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, so I know, because you were just like, I'm doubting myself a little bit, like, don't. I mean, well, you know.
It's actually funny because this all got tipped off by Trump. When people were calling themselves values voters, like, if you voted for Donald Trump because you think he's the right guy for the job, good for you. I disagree, but fine.
Yeah.
But when people called themselves, you know, evangelical values voters, the same people that wanted Bill Clinton to be, you know, pilloried for getting a blowjob in the Oval Office, and then said, but I'm cool with this guy. I'm like, fuck right off. And I said, you know what? Time to look in the mirror, though. How many times am I a hypocrite? And then just led to a whole chain reaction.
I mean, yeah, if you think fellatio in the Oval Office is worse than... let me get on my list of shit that's right. going on. Like, you've got
I've done a bit about that. Some people said that's the worst thing you do in the Oval Office. I'm like, that's the most awesome thing you could do in the Oval Office. That would be the only reason I'd want to be president. And I did a bit about Martha Washington blowing George Washington, but that doesn't help. And wooden teeth and splinters and stuff. It's just...
Ow.
By the way, that bit has never fucking worked.
No.
Unfortunately, no. It's just fucking died every time I've stopped doing it. But it's working right now, and I'm happy about that.
No, I mean, because just, I mean, being a dude, like, I'm just like,
died of, died, George Washington died of cock splinters. Is all I can
See, I like that.
See, I think it's funny, too. I'll try it again. I'll try it again next time I go up.
Yeah.
And it'll die again, because that joke has never gone anywhere. But anyway. All right. The other big issue in the media and relating to, you know, gay actors is Jussie Smollett. Now, we've talked about him on the show a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to hear your thoughts, just, and I apologize, you are more than a gay person. I don't mean to ever pigeonhole you. But it, a lot of people are saying this is going to hurt victims who report things down the road. And frankly, I don't buy that because it's such a unique situation. Your thoughts.
Okay, so I've never been the victim of a hate crime, but I have been a victim of sexual abuse and rape. And so, yeah, we just got real deep and heavy in here. And I know when I reported my assault and rape, I was met with criticism and I was met with open arms. So I am putting myself to answer this in the point of, well, are these accusations going to be treated with actual respect from now on, from here out? The answer is no, because they
haven't. But they weren't before.
Because they haven't been before. It's not because of Jussie Smollett. I think what he did was really fucking stupid, if it turns out to be true, because this case seems to be having a new turn every single day. Now, literally, one of my biggest guilty pleasures is watching The View. And I love it because it gets political, it gets entertaining, and it also gives you literally a view of every kind of political realm that there is right now. And originally it was, okay, so he got, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've doubted this the entire time, because the original thing was, two guys in ski masks met him at his apartment or outside of his apartment while he was going to get Subway. And at the time that this was happening, it was literally a polar vortex. So not only did they have to know his schedule, but they had to know that when he was coming out.
Right.
If they were going to try to get into his apartment, you know this dude, he makes $65,000 an episode. He makes over $1 million a year. He's living in a Chicago apartment with a door guy, with security. So what was their plan? They were just going to walk through? No, it didn't make any fucking sense. And then all of a sudden, they just happened to have a noose and bleach, and they just knew when he was coming out. Like, none of this shit made sense. Do I doubt it? Abso-fucking-lutely. Do I think it's a setup? Absolutely. But who am I to judge until there is a grand jury to be like, yo, this is what's up. I don't think it's going to hurt accusations because, again, accusations nine times out of ten aren't taken seriously. I mean, how many fucking untested rape kits are there still in our system? I do think it's unfortunate, though, because in the political climate we are, the right side is just having a heyday with this shit. But, I mean, is it going to change shit? No.
No. Okay. I mean, I somewhat jokingly on the last episode of Whiskey Congress said, the next time a gay black actor from a hit show is accuses people of having a noose and throwing bleach on them, that probably won't be believed. But
yeah,
that's kind of a small demographic.
Yeah.
It that whole thing is going to take shape. It, to me, the official reality that he set this up came when he changed his tact from, this is all true, to, I have an untreated drug problem. And, hey, dude, protect yourself. I'm not criticizing Jussie Smollett or his legal team for going, damage control time, we got to get out of this shit. But once that card gets played, I go, all right, now it's damage control. Own it. Do the best you can.
It was just weird to me because if I get attacked and I am working with police, I'm going to hand you my phone when you ask it. I'm going to hand you emails.
I'll defend him on that, though. Not handing the phone over, because my phone doesn't have anything that interesting, to be honest with you. But to say, here's my phone, do what you want with it, any, who knows?
I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to be on the other side with you on this one, because you know what you're going to find? If that were to happen to me right now and I were to give you this phone, you know what you're going to find on it? You're going to find...
There'll be dick pics, won't there?
You're going to find dick pics and gay porn, and you're going to find music, and that's okay. It. And literally, what do I have
oddly,
to
find? If you check my phone, you'll find dick pics, gay porn, and music.
Yes. No, but like... You know what I mean? Like, if I am putting myself out there in the public for something like this, I'm going to do every aspect of protecting myself to make right. sure that I'm clean. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't understand why you would not.
The most compelling / damning thing about the Jussie thing was it was just so perfectly orchestrated as right. a hate crime, right? Like, then they said, this is MAGA country. In the rich ass part of Chicago that probably voted 2% for Trump, fucking
and
come
it's
on.
Two black guys and
well,
it's two
well, it was two white guys in the story.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being two very not white guys in the actual event.
I'm just I just don't get it. And then like $3,500 check was written out. Dude, if you were going to pay people to fuck you up, cash is your best friend.
That, you know what? So they've subsequently said that money was for training stuff, whatever. And I don't care. The fact that he wrote a check clearly shows he has right. a at least a professional relationship with these guys. But I know you're not a huge sports fan. Do you follow the NBA at all?
No, I thought you were going to mention the Patriots, dude.
No, we'll save that for another time. But Charles Barkley is a commentator on the NBA show on TNT, and he had a field day with Jussie, including he put a check on there, and it was the check, and it was signed by Jussie Smollett, and it was written to muggers for mugging supplies. And he just teed off. Oh, it was.
See, now that's funny.
It is funny.
That is a perfect example of what I said, where you can literally take any situation and make it funny. That is that right there.
And I'm watching Charles Barkley, who I am a fan of, doing those jokes. And it was, he had the set laughing so hard. Like, you could hear people, like cameramen or whatever, laughing in the background, disrupting the sound.
That's the best.
Because it was so good. I'll play it for you. I got it on my phone. I'll play it for you. You can enjoy it. But then, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You will be hearing Academy Queens on, I'm sure you'll, look for it. It'll be on iTunes and wherever.
Yeah, we're going Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, and Stitcher. We premiere in March, and our first season is we deal with the ladies of the 70s. So we're dealing with supporting actors and actresses. And what's nice about ours, what makes it a little different, is that we're also going to be interviewing actual past nominees and winners.
Right.
So we have some bonus episodes like this as well with the actresses themselves. Yeah.
No offense, but you scored bigger names than I did with this bonus episode.
Stop it.
Anyway, thanks for coming in. Good drinking with you.
Thank
good
you
talking
so much.
To you. And we are out of here.
Take care.
So we finished recording, and you pointed out that I made that comment about the worst best picture ever. We never got there.
Yeah.
So this is bonus work. Thank you for bringing that back up.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the worst best Oscar for best motion picture Oscar was Crash.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say I didn't like the movie. I found the movie to be absurd mm-hmm. in the sense that everyone in that movie has their most racist and most racially acceptable moment in their lives ever in the same thing of events. And I know it's one of those multiple pieces moving movies. I found Matt Dillon's character to be ridiculous. He sexually assaults a woman mostly driven by race on the street and then saves that same woman's life. Oh, come on. And then the cop that he's partnered with, I don't even know who the actor was. I know it's a...
Ryan Phillippe.
Was it Ryan Phillippe? Okay.
Yeah.
Goes from being the most open-minded guy ever to murdering and burning a black guy in his car. And ludicrous goes from his thing to freeing human... To me, it was way overdone.
So you have to...
And also, there's a big scene when the little girl jumps in front of the blanket, shot in the head. She would have fucking died had that happened, okay? It doesn't matter if it was a blanket. You shot with a blanket 2 feet, it blows your head off. Ask Brandon Lee. Oh, you can't. He's dead. He got hit by a fucking blank.
Oh, my God.
Is that too far?
So you're saying you don't like it?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. You have to realize when people... The Academy Awards are not always about the performances. They're also about the politics.
Right.
The Academy Award game is a very political game. You know, studios spend millions and millions of dollars on literally a statue that costs $400 to make. And that's even if they win the actual fucking award. Now, I want to answer your question on who do I think is the worst Best Picture winner ever.
Right.
And I do it because of off my head about it. I'm like, who won a Best Picture Oscar, and I can't fathom ever watching that fucking movie again. It's not actually Crash. It's actually Driving Miss Daisy.
Really?
Yes, in 1989. Before I get to that, though, I want to comment on Crash, though, because Crash does get a lot of shit as being a horrible movie that won. However, it was up against that year Brokeback Mountain, Capote, Good Night, Good Luck, and Munich. Now,
okay.
If you break these down really quick, Munich was Kathleen Kennedy and Steven Spielberg, and this was Munich.
Eric Bana, I loved Munich as a movie. It had some flaws, but it was. I mean,
but
the story it's telling is an intense story.
Yeah, I mean, it's a true story. But, right. I mean, it literally got in on what I think is the Spielberg ticket. It got in because it was a Spielberg movie a la A Bridge of Spies a couple years ago.
Right.
Good Night and Good Luck was a black and white film. It was never going to win. It was just one of those, honestly.
Well, now, hold on, though. From a political standpoint, was it Clooney?
Good Night and Good Luck was... George Clooney, yeah.
Clooney, so, and he's playing
and Grant
Edward
Hasselhoff.
And he's playing Edward R. Murrow. I mean, we talked earlier in the show about how prominent Hollywood was in that era, in the 50s.
Yeah.
And so that strikes me as Oscar bait, if there ever was one.
Well, it is Oscar bait, but it is there's also
but it's
this,
not the finish line.
Right. It's there's also this thing in when it comes to the Academy known as filler nominations. You'll see that a lot with, you know, acting, but you do see it with pictures. I do believe, even though with the star power of Clooney and Grant Hasloff, that Good Night, Good Luck was a filler nomination.
Okay.
Just because as a film, it's just like, meh. Then you had Capote, obviously Philip Seymour Hoffman, Catherine Keener. But, I mean, this race...
Sandra Bullock?
No.
Was she in the other one? Was she
the
in,
other Capote movie?
Which is called Infamous. Infamous, yes. Which is, by the way, a better movie than
way
Capote.
Better than actual Capote, yeah. And it bombed. It was not...
Same concept, same time.
Just happened to be... Wrong timing.
Hollywood does that to itself all the time, right? Everyone wants to do...
They do it all the time, especially with Zodiac and Black Dahlia movies.
And Wyatt Earp. I mean, Wyatt Earp and Tombstone came out right on top of each other.
Yeah.
Honestly, I love the movie Tombstone.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp's a better movie.
Yeah.
Just was longer and dragged out.
Time to EFL, also thing like Unforgiven came out, so it was like you had all these westerns like resurfacing.
Yeah, Hollywood is such a copycat money chase the money business, which I get it, but still.
But to get to the best picture on why this was such a controversial pick is because you went into 2005 in the ceremony with Brokeback Mountain,
right?
And Brokeback Mountain at the time, especially as a gay man, I was in the eighth grade when it came out.
Okay,
and it was like, oh, here's
I was 30, whatever. Fuck,
and,
thanks, Joey.
You're welcome. And it was one of those things where it was like, okay, here's this revolutionary movie. It's a movie that's not just about like Tom Hanks in Philadelphia. It was about gay men dying of AIDS because it was relevant at that time. This was a movie that took gay characters and put them into a love story. So it was literally Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal's love story, but just with, you know, gay men.
Two men, yeah.
And so everyone thought it to be this huge shoo-in to win. Now, Crash wins, and there was a lot of controversy because it was supposed to be Brokeback Mountain's year. As a gay man, Crash was the correct picture to win here. Brokeback Mountain is fucking boring. There is not...
You know...
It is not a good movie. It's not a good movie.
I'm going to disagree with you. It is a good movie. It's a brilliantly acted
That's
movie
what I mean by that,
with
though.
A great story.
Yes.
But it is slow as fuck.
Yeah. And I don't mind a slow burner. One of my favorite movies of all time is Terrence Malick's A Tree of Life, which is notoriously slow. But as I don't want to be like, oh, this is I'm gay. Here's the gay movie that should have won. No, Crash was the correct winner here because this whole lineup sucks. This whole lineup is terrible.
As long as we're putting that caveat on. So
yes.
Capote...
Okay. Good Night, good luck. Munich, Brokeback Mountain, and Crash were the top five.
It is, of those, I'm going Munich.
Of those, I'm going Crash because Crash is the one that I could watch over and over again and not be bored with. Ridiculous
as it is. You know what? I'm not even going to push back on that because I have watched Capote multiple times. I've watched Crash multiple times. I have watched Munich multiple times.
Yeah.
I've seen Brokeback Mountain and... The funny thing to me about Brokeback Mountain is so people who are uncomfortable around gay anything getting depicted freaked the fuck out about that movie.
Yeah.
And it became a punchline. I mean, an entourage. Jake Gyllenhaal takes over Vince's role as Aquaman, and Ari screams, "Brokeback motherfucking Aquaman, way to go!" And I thought that was funny. But but as good a movie as it is, it is slow.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing to me about that, though, is in terms of depicting gay sex, it was way less graphic than the show The Sopranos. And listen, the end of Sopranos has a gay character, and it was a really interesting twist that totally turned the conversation. But that was way more explicitly gay than Brokeback Mountain that caused all these people to lose their shit.
Right, and I will just say, as a gay man who actively always participates in gay sex, there's no way that you can just spit a little half a loogie into a hand and get into that. That is not going to happen. Now,
okay, I brought that on myself.
If you did bring that on yourself, that's not a thing. Now, my pick was Driving Miss Daisy. Here's who you had in that lineup this year. And honestly, you're going to be like, what the fuck?
All right.
Born on the 4th of July.
Great movie. Brutal to watch, though.
Dead Poets Society. Field of Dreams. And My Left Foot.
Wow.
Right. And so then you have a movie about an old lady being driven around by Morgan Freeman.
Right.
Now, Driving Miss Daisy as a film is really, really fucking boring. The only saving grace to this movie is at the very end when Miss Daisy is like, she doesn't remember who anybody is, and Morgan Freeman's like, I still love you as a person. Like, that's like heartwarming. Okay. I get that. But Born on the 4th of July is one of Oliver Stone's best fucking movies. I would honestly argue that it's better than Platoon, as this gives like the after effect of Vietnam in a way. Dead Poets Society is fantastic. I worked with Robin Williams, and I told him that this film and Good Morning Vietnam were like the two that really got me to love him as a dramatic actor. Field of Dreams is classic. I don't think it would have won in My Left Foot. It was one of those filler nominations.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Name a bad Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
In the Name of the Father.
Disagree.
Really?
It was a good movie.
I don't think it went anywhere.
My point is, Daniel Day-Lewis does not make shit movies.
Phantom Thread.
What's that?
Phantom Thread.
Never even heard of it.
Came out 2 years ago. It was his last nomination. That was the final movie he was ever going to do. Okay. Boring as fuck.
Okay. All right.
I'll actually take away In the Name of the Father and put it to Phantom Thread.
There's certain movies. There's certain actors who you're like, all right, De Niro, you're a phenom. You are a Mount Rushmore actor, whatever.
Yeah.
But you made 15 minutes, which is actually a movie I like, but come on.
Right.
I mean, it's a cheese bag movie, and fucking analyze this also. And that. Yeah, my left foot. So, yeah. All right.
But yeah, with that lineup, I would say Driving Miss Daisy was a terrible choice. I would have gone with Born on the 4th of July, followed by Dead Poets.
Born on the 4th of July is one of the most depressing movies I've ever watched. Yes. It's brilliant.
But it's powerful.
It's powerful. Yeah. Absolutely powerful. And based on a true story. And
yeah.
And, all right, so we got this in there. Is there anything that you want to talk about?
Really quick. This year, a lot of people will say with Green Book was a shitty choice. Green Book was a really shitty choice, especially when it was up against things like Black Klansman, Black Panther, The Favorite. But I wouldn't say it's the worst. I definitely think it's not a great movie, but it wasn't worthy of Best Picture, in my opinion.
What do you... I'm sorry, we're going to go on for hours.
No, it's fine.
What do you think of...
Dude, I could do this for literally hours.
Me too. I don't know if people listen to us for hours is my concern. You know what? We want to go for a little longer. We'll do a second bonus. Well, this will be a second bonus episode, and we're good to go. We'll go 10 more minutes.
I mean, fuck at that point.
Because what did you think about them expanding to 10 nominees versus 5? Because I think that's ridiculous.
Okay, so you do know that's not the first time that's been like that, right?
No, but it's recent.
Right. So the reason it happened was because of Christopher Nolan and The Dark Knight. Back in 2008... I will seriously argue that The Dark Knight was the best picture of that year, and it did not get a nomination. Slumdog Millionaire ended up winning that year. So the following year, they were like, okay, there was a huge outcry from the public, and it was like, listen, we get the Academy is one thing and the public is another, but if you're going to literally honor the movies and want us to watch a show, you have to do it with movies that we also think deserves it.
Right.
So they were like, they hadn't done it, I believe, since the year that The Wizard of Oz was nominated. Because if you look at that year, it's like Ninotchka, Wizard of Oz, like all these classical films, and it was the last year they were
39, 40?
39, okay. Yeah. So they hadn't done it since 39. At that point, it had been 60 years or 70 years even, maybe. So in 2009, they went to 10. And then by 2013, they said, we're going to change it again. It's not going to be automatically 10. It could be anywhere between 5 and 10.
Okay.
So there hasn't been 10 nominees, I believe, since 2012.
Okay.
I like it. I think it gives a better chance of films that normally wouldn't get the nomination in there. But at the same time, I hate it because you have films that don't stand a chance.
Right.
Kids Are All Right, Winter's Bone. You have things like Philomena. This year you had like Vice that was never going to win.
Was that was up this year?
That was up this year.
Okay. I can't wait to see that movie. I've not seen it yet.
So did you like The Big Short?
I've never seen The Big Short. So, I know what it's about, but I've never seen the movie.
So if you didn't like The Big Short, most likely you won't like Vice. Vice, to me, felt like a 2.5 hour audition for Second City.
Okay, the problem with me not liking Vice versus you not liking Vice is I was an adult when that was all going on. So for me, it will be much more real.
While I don't disagree with you, I do disagree with you on the adult factor because I'm a very political person, so I'm into like the idea
of politics. But how old were you in 2000?
In 2000, I was 8 years old.
So in 2008, when Bush leaves office, you're 16.
I'm 16.
All right. I was 30.
Okay.
Or 29. So okay. For me, I was watching this unfold, and I went through the whole reaction to, you know, Bush gets elected, not happy, 9/11 happens. I literally said the words, "Thank God George Bush is our president." I have since retracted those words. But I mean, I went through that whole emotion of reacting to 9/11, and then opening my eyes and going, Iraq had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing there? But I was sucked into it, and then I was like, wait a minute, why am I?
Did you vote that election?
Yes.
Am I allowed?
Did you mind if?
Okay. So were you? Gore. I was about to say, were you Gore, Nader, or
no?
It was Nader who fucked that up, right?
It was Nader who ran.
Yeah.
No, I was, I didn't like Al Gore. Mm-hmm. Here's a funny thing. I loved Bill Clinton when he was in office.
Yeah.
That's
when the dollar was the strongest. Last.
Yeah, and looking back, there's a lot of things Bill Clinton did that today, Jim, would go, you fucked up. Now, it was all done out of political expediency, right. And he was maybe the best politician of my lifetime. But, you know, looking back at some of the mandatory sentencing and the crime bills and all that that sucked up the Republicans and kept him where he was, looking back, I'm like, not such a fan, but
right.
But at the time I loved the guy, and the fact that he got attacked for getting a blowjob in the Oval Office, we've already discussed this. I'm all for that. Yeah. I think there's no reason not to be in the Oval Office if you're not going to get blown there. And for people who say you need to respect the office, that is respecting the office.
Listen, you cannot say respect the office right now with what's going on in the office.
And then there's that.
But yeah, so Vice is good, but there's no way it was going to win. And I wouldn't even say like it's good as like it's a good movie, because again, I just felt like it was a 2.5 hour audition for Second City. But it's Adam McKay, who is, you know,
okay,
Will Ferrell's right hand man. So it's just to give you an idea of where that movie's coming from. But yeah, I mean, so I don't mind the
idea that you're making Christian Bale look like Dick Cheney is fucking amazing, by the way.
Well, that, yes. But do you ever notice that like if you think about the people who've been nominated for presidents, they're always English. Anthony Hopkins as Richard Nixon to Nixon. Christian Bale as
Cheney. Well,
Cheney, not that he was a right, boy. Really, he was President Cheney. Let's just be honest there. So, Daniel Day-Lewis
British,
he's Ireland, but
right,
Irish. But he, yeah, Lincoln.
Right.
Fuck, what was his name?
You need to give me more.
didn't they do a movie on Washington? No, it's gonna skip me right now. But yeah, so I mean, if most likely, if you're from the UK, you play president.
For some reason, you
play
American presidents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like you said, we could do this for hours, but let's shut this down because we've been going on for quite a while, which is fun.
No,
it's fun. But I also know that I've got food that I need to deal with in my oven, so I got to deal with that. Joey, thanks again for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right.
All right.